Good morning, everyone. Before we get started with the scripture, I want to just give a little preview of where this sermon came from. If you remember a few weeks ago when Pastor Gabe was here, Mike Engel, stood up and he gave us a scripture on the definition of love, what love is and what love isn't. And it kind of convicted me that some of those things that love isn't has been happening with me. And then later on, I think it was might even in the same week, it was our anniversary and me and Rachel went to Chanhassen Dinner Theater. Like, what does that have to do with it? Well, they happen to have Joseph in the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, which they take a lot of liberties with the scripture. But who is a better example of forgiveness in the Bible than Joseph? So that's where I'm at today, and I have a clip from a film that may seem a little out there, but when you get done, I'll explain it to you and you'll understand. So let us start with a film clip from a movie. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Let's hold that while you're prepping that. Let's do the scripture first. And then pray. How about that? That's even better. Genesis 50, verses 15 through 21. And you guys, I'm sure, all know the story of Joseph, how his brothers sold him into slavery after they were jealous of him because his father made him this great coat because he was his father's favorite, the older son of his favorite wife. Because he had multiple wives, as you remember the story. Well, this is all the way toward the end of Genesis, right after Jacob dies, and his brothers are afraid that Joseph is going to take revenge. So here's the scripture. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did him?" So they went to Joseph, saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Pray with me. Father, reveal yourself today through this scripture. Reveal yourself today through this message. Speak through me. Let me get out of the way, Lord. Let me be less, let you be more. Lord, let nothing I say today be contradictory to your word or contradicting to your will. Let everything that touches the people's ears today be your words for this people, for this day. Father, I thank you for this day, for this is the day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's do the clip. And going into the clip, let's just go ahead. Thank you.
sometimes I guess there just aren't enough rocks.
All right, what does that have to do with Joseph and his brothers? Obviously, for the folks that are, I guess, as far along as me, have seen this movie before, it's from Forrest Gump. And Forrest is there with his lifelong friend Jenny, and at the home where she grew up, where she was abused by her father. Her father left his mark on Jenny in a horrible way, profoundly affecting her life choices. And now, years later, seeing that house brought back extremely painful memories. The hurt hadn't gone away. The wounds had never fully healed. And Forrest appropriately comments, "Sometimes there just aren't enough rocks." So let me ask you today, consider something. Have you run out of rocks? Have you ever been hurt so bad that you couldn't find forgiveness for the offender? Maybe the offense was too great, or maybe it hurt too much to forgive. Has anyone here ever been hurt by someone that you love? Our family wouldn't hurt us, would they? They wouldn't hurt you intentionally, would they? Well, let me start by saying that this message is not directed towards anyone in particular. This is a disclaimer. I know I have hurt people before, and I know I've hurt my family before. And I pray that you can find in your heart to forgive me. And I hope through this message that you can find forgiveness too for whoever you're holding this for. So, have you run out of rocks? Rocks are what we hurl at objects or individuals who remind us of our pain. They are not literal rocks, but maybe actions or words that we employ to strike back at almost anyone or anything in an attempt to offset some of our own hurt. A sarcastic comment here, a bit of excessive behavior there. Hopefully, we won't hurt so bad as long as we have rocks to throw. In the movie there, Jenny's wayward adult life that is pictured in the movie is presented as a futile effort at numbing the pain of past wounds. And the trouble is that deep hurts and the deep wounds of our lives can't be fully healed simply by throwing rocks. So, are you so hurt that you walk around with a rock in your hand most of the time, ready to throw? Well, sooner or later, we all run out of rocks, and we'll find we've hurt others in the process. We'll find the pain is still there. It has reduced us to a puddle of crazy emotions, and we find ourselves having to come to grips with the rest of life, wondering how we'll cope. So back to my earlier, do you know any Christian brothers and sisters that have been hurt by other Christians? Hopefully not, but nobody wouldn't let that happen, would they? Maybe not intentionally. And Christians don't intentionally hurt each other, do they? Or maybe you might know a Christian that's so disillusioned about church because they were let down by the church they attended or by a leader of the church. And maybe they were hurt so bad that they left the church and don't attend church anymore. Or maybe, do you know a pastor or a church leader who's been hurt? And they hurt so bad that they quit or became so confused they questioned whether God really wants them to be a pastor or to lead the church. I know for a fact whenever I see missionaries or pastors, or especially pastors' wives and their children, when they're hurting, I'm sure these kinds of wounds are present. Maybe the pain wasn't caused intentionally, but that doesn't make it hurt any less. When family hurts you, either at home or at church, I like to call this friendly fire. So, are you the victim of friendly fire? This friendly fire is the flak that we take from our own side. It's the collateral damage from a misguided bomb intended for the enemy that lands right smack dab in the middle of our heart. This was the type of pain known by Joseph. I mean, look what his brothers did to him. They sold him into slavery and told their father Jacob that he was dead. Another example is in Philippians 3, where the Apostle Paul relates his pain and suffering in the name of Christ. Here it is, Philippians 3, verses 8 through 10. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. Paul knew pain. He was in jail when he wrote this scripture. Another person in the Bible, King David, in the Psalms he wrote of his pain, that even my close friends, someone I trusted, one who shared my bread, has turned against me. That's in Psalm 41, verse 9. And then Jesus Christ himself, at the Last Supper, he predicts his own betrayal as he quotes David's scripture from the Psalms right there. And he says to them as he's identifying his betrayer, he said, "I'm not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fill this passage of scripture. He who shared my bread has turned against me." So today, the question is not how we stop the pain, but what do we do with it? Will I remain a victim, or will I move to being a victor with Christ? The pain of friendly fire can paralyze us. It can literally stop the clock. This can happen to Christians who get hurt by other Christians and who have failed to identify their pain with Christ. The clock stops. They go through life month after month, year after year, and often even church after church. But the clock stopped way back when they were hurt, and their lives can't continue. Today, you definitely can say that it's popular to be a victim. But being a victim is not a good way to live, because life cannot go forward when the clock is stopped at the point of your last betrayal. I wonder how many here today are living their lives with their clock stopped. You don't have to be paralyzed with your clock stopped. There's another answer. There's a way to healing, but I warn you, it will involve another kind of pain, the pain of Christ's cross. But Christ's cross will bring resurrection, and a new life that he brings will also make the clock start ticking again. This is what we saw in Joseph being able to forgive his brothers after they literally ditched him. Joseph identified his pain with God. In God, the pain was intended to bring blessing. Being hurt by his brothers made sense. The pain of false accusations made sense. The trials of being imprisoned unjustly and the years of separation from his family and his father were accepted by him as a blessing. And he was saying, just as King David said in Psalms 90, verse 15, "Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble." This power at work in the life of Joseph is what you need in order to get past your hurt. It's also the power that was present in Paul when he said in Galatians 2, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." That's exactly what Paul was also getting at in the previous Philippians 3 text. By embracing the pain that comes at him as a means of identification with Christ Jesus, Paul moves from victim to victor. Joseph's life was an example of how God can bring healing to even deep wounds in our lives. Somehow, Joseph made it. After all he'd been through, after all the hurt and betrayal and unfair treatment, Joseph, found healing. So as we look further at this Genesis 50 passage, there are other truths that we can learn from Joseph about the healing of hidden hurts. If we desire healing, we must guard against bitterness. So are you holding a grudge? Bitterness is what can happen when we choose to dwell on our wounds. Maybe we get into the habit of picturing the one who wounded us, and imagining all sorts of bad things we would enjoy seeing come upon that person as payback. Bitterness can even lead to a desire for personal revenge. Joseph's brothers, there in Genesis 50:15, assumed he would be bitter. What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him. Well, the situation there, his father was dead. And what would stop Joseph from enacting some form of revenge or payback? With what they had done, they probably could expect that. It was possible Joseph might want to kill them. He definitely had the power to do so with his position under Pharaoh if he wanted to do that. So they sent that word that their dad had left a message for Joseph before he died. And his message was to forgive your brothers. And what did Joseph do when he heard that? He cried when he heard that. Most biblical scholars that I when I was looking it up, believe Joseph probably cried because his brothers chose to stoop to the level of making up a story that involved their deceased father. They were afraid, so they chose drastic measures. What did they do? They lied to him. But his brothers didn't need to be afraid because Joseph wasn't bitter. He wasn't bitter. Can you imagine that? After being sold into slavery at 17, he wasn't bitter. And why not? Joseph wasn't bitter because he left the correction of wrongs up to God. Let's look at verse 19. He said, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God?" He was saying to them, "I'm not in the business of payback. God alone rights our wrongs, so I don't have to settle a score. Brothers, you guys are good with me." Deep wounds will never be healed if we let ourselves become bitter. In bitterness, we want to spread the hurt, share it with the ones who hurt us, but we do so at the expense of leaving our own wounds unmended. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, it says, "Get rid of all bitter, rage, and anger." All right, let's think about this for a minute, and let's stop. As I was researching this sermon, I found this illustration about how holding a grudge hurts us more. So try this with me. Take both your hands, hold them up. Make two fists. Squeeze your fists as hard as you can. Tight, tighter. Don't let go. Hold on to it. Just a little bit more. Hold on. Are you getting tired yet? It's hard, isn't it? Hold on to it. A little longer. Just a little tighter. Okay, now let go. First, did you notice the pain in your fingers when you finally let go? The fists were causing you pain. But it also hurt to stop making the fists. When we carry a grudge, the bitterness squeezes us to death. But the longer we carry that hurt, we also find that it's more and more painful to let go of it. Second, did you notice that at every second it took more and more strength to keep squeezing? You had to focus more energy and attention on it every second in order to keep it up. Carrying a grudge will consume you more and more, or will consume more and more of your life and energy, and leave less left over for everything else. Third, some of you, like me, may even notice some numbness from the blood not circulating well through your fingers. Carrying a grudge can produce an insensitivity to the person you're mad at, but also to God and others around you, as more and more of your energy is used up in the nursing of that bitterness. Do you see how this kind of grudge-keeping life is simply at odds with the joyful life God has designed for you? Let it take root, and it can poison the rest of our lives. You can't simultaneously keep those fists closed and receive anything else. You can't receive blessings from God until you let go of the grudge, until you let go of your bitterness. We can learn from Joseph. He was a wise man. He knew God wouldn't heal his hurt as long as he carried a bitter desire to see harm or revenge come to his brothers. So, do you have a deep wound inflicted by someone in your past? If so, guard against bitterness by trusting God to right the wrongs. Without this, healing won't occur. God will do it for you too. He will transform you who have been hurt, wounded, abandoned, sinned against, betrayed, from a victim to a victor by trusting in Jesus. For he was the one who was hurt and wounded and abandoned and sinned against and betrayed, but who pronounced forgiveness from the cross. Jesus transformed the cross from an instrument of destruction sent by the Father to an instrument of salvation ordained by God. In him there can be no more victims, only victors. So let me tell you a second thing that we learned from Joseph that needs to occur if you want God to heal your deepest wounds. This is kind of an intermission here. Everybody says forgiveness is a lovely idea until you have something to forgive. So we need to take steps toward forgiveness. Find someone you trust to share your pain with. Someone that's a good listener. Not someone that's coming into it to try to fix you, but someone that can listen well. It takes courage to open it up about your pain, but talking about it in a safe environment can be healing. Forgiveness is difficult when you've been hurt badly. And the last thing we may want to do is forgive. But remember, we're talking about healing some deep wounds. The deeper they are, the more treatment and serious attention they require. Some people think forgiving is simply forgetting, and it's definitely not. It's because deep wounds are not forgotten that forgiveness needs to occur. Other people think forgiveness minimizes the hurt, almost as though saying, "I forgive you," gives the person the right to hurt us again, and it doesn't. It's because of the seriousness of the hurt that forgiveness needs to occur. Forgiveness and prosecution are not mutually exclusive. The key to forgiveness is to understand how much we have been forgiven by God. Each of us have offended God in a major way because of our sins, but he sent Jesus to give us a way to be reunited with him. Having faith in what Jesus did at the cross for us and accepting his grace, we can be forgiven. God has taken leave of our sins in Jesus, so we too should let go of the sins committed against us. In Colossians 3:13 it says, "Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Joseph's brothers wondered, could he ever forgive us for the terrible things we did to him? They were afraid of him, so what did they do? They made up a story, and they offered themselves to him as slaves. But what did Joseph do? Joseph modeled perfect forgiveness. He demonstrated how God graciously accepts us even though we don't deserve it. And go to verse 21. "So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children," and reassured them and spoke kindly to them. These deep wounds will always stay open if we are unable to forgive. So do you have someone in your life you've sworn to never forget? Think that over again. And then with God's help, take a step towards forgiveness. Because Jesus, he's the expert on the matter. The third thing we must learn from Joseph that needs to occur if we want God to heal our deep wounds, we must believe in God's greater purpose. There's an amazing verse in the middle of that Genesis 50 passage. It's one of the most profound in the Bible. Verse 20. Joseph, the recipient of unnecessary wrong and mistreatment, looks his brothers in the eyes and says this: "You intended to harm me, but God intended for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." He also said something similar earlier when he revealed his identity to his brothers when they first came to his palace in Egypt. In chapter 45, verse 5, he said to them, "It was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." Don't get me wrong, God never puts a stamp of approval on evil and sin. What Joseph's brothers did was wrong. However, as Joseph looks back on his life, he sees it is no accident that he is where he is. Even in the midst of all the bad that has happened, God used it for good. In fact, he used Joseph's life to save many other lives. His brothers intended to harm him, but God intended it for good. Many times we don't know what God wants to do in our lives until after the fact. If you're going to go through a deep wounding right now, and you have in the past, before you give it up, before you give up on God, consider what greater purpose He might have for you. He is in the process of bringing out great possibilities through your experiences. He did that in Joseph's life, and He'll do it in yours. Believe in His greater purpose. And there's that scripture in verse 20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. One last thing that we can learn from Joseph about the healing of deep wounds: we need to live by promises, not by explanations. I'm pretty sure at the bottom of that pit, Joseph wasn't fully aware of what God's overall plan for his life was. After being thrown into prison for something he didn't do, I think he still probably didn't see the whole picture. But he lived by promises, not explanations. And as in these words, Genesis 39, verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph believed the promise that God would never leave him. So because of that, he didn't have to have an explanation for each of the trials he faced. He had hope in the midst of the unknown. If you're suffering a deep wound, let me read some of God's clear promises out of Romans 8. Apostle Paul addressed these verses. In verse 18, I consider that all our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And then the familiar passage, verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. That's what he's talking right there. God had a purpose for Joseph, and he had good in line, even when God allowed his brothers to throw him in the pit. He knew he was going to send him to Egypt, and he knew he was going to save Israel by it when that famine hit. Then verse 31, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Then the end of chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. No, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't know what deep wounds there might be in your life today, but I do know God is with you in the midst of it. And His promises will bring you healing in a way searching for an explanation never can. Joseph's life proves that forgiveness leads to healing. Fred, go ahead and play that video I have.
You know what I love about life? Time. It's pretty brilliant, actually. I mean, the sun comes up, and then it goes down, and every morning when that happens, what do you get? You get a new day. You get a new one. It's kind of like this. Recently during worship, there was this amazing moment, and I said to God, "Take my life. I'm yours." And I meant it. But within 24 hours, some things happened, and life's worries began to choke me out. My heart became divided, and next thing you know, I lost sight of what I had told God. But here's the beauty of it all. This second that I exist in blows past me like the wind. Then another second passes, and another, and another, and another. I look at my reflection and understand I'm not the same man I was 10 seconds ago. Always growing, always taking in, always renewing. And every second is this beautiful new chance for new life. A new original moment of life that's filled with potential. Potential to love, potential to affect change in myself and in others. Potential for forgiveness, and potential to worship. And right now, may God grant me the ability to not focus on the past or the future, but to seize the moment. To once again tell Him, "Take my life. I'm yours." And that's it. That's what I love about life. Time.
To conclude, I want to close with a couple of things you consider today. These four things that I mentioned that speaks most to where you are right now with regards to hurt in your life. Do you need to guard against bitterness? Do you need to take some steps toward forgiveness? Or do you need help seeing God's greater purpose in your pain? Or do you need to live by promises more than explanations? I know we all have hurt, and we all get hurt by each other, but I pray that we can find forgiveness from Jesus at the cross and lay that burden at the cross and don't allow that stuff to eat us up. So pray with me. Father, thank you for your word, for it is truth. And Father, we know that you forgive. But Lord, you also say we need to forgive each other as you have forgiven us. Then you are faithful to forgive. So Lord, show us if there are places in our lives and that are hurt from the past. I know it hurts to bring up things from the past, Lord, but show us how we can find healing for these things. That we can quit living in the past. Quit living with our life with the clock stopped and start living today with joy, with life anew through Jesus Christ. Lord, show us how we can find healing through your forgiveness. For Lord, you forgave us all. You were the bridge between us back to you, God, at the cross. That was the bridge you built for us. So Lord, we claim that gift at the cross. And we claim the victory that you gave us at the cross over sin and over hurt and over pain and over sorrow. For Lord, after all these things, joy comes in the morning if we are true to you. Lord, show us healing through forgiveness today. In Jesus' name, amen.